The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas are Vayakel Pikudei. In Parashas Pikudei, Lamates Chav Beis, it states Vayas es Mi'ilo Ha'Ephod Maise Oreg Kilil Techeles. Here the Parashas are dealing with the building of the Mishkan and the making of the Big Day Kohuna, the Begodim, the garments of the Kohen Gadol and the other Kohanim. So one of the begodim of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, of his eight garments, was the Me'il. And the Me'il, this was a garment which he wore. He wore it beneath his top robe. And we'll see a description of it in a minute. V'yasis Me'il ha'efod ma'ase orei ke'lil t'cheles. Says that you should make the Me'il, which was a robe, Ma'ase Oreg, it should be woven, and it should be made completely of Tcheles. Tcheles was the wool which was dyed blue by the Chalozin. The Chalozin was a creature which lived in the sea, most likely. There's a discussion on that. And he would come up once every 70 years, and they would make from him this dye, and it was a beautiful blue or turquoise. Now, if we go back to Parshas Tetzaveh, where Moshe was commanded in how to make everything, if we go back to Parshas Chof Ches, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, there Rashi explains the psukim. States Vosiso es Me'il ha'Ephod Kilil Tcheles, that you should make the Me'il ha'Ephod out of blue wool, like we mentioned. Now Rashi there mentions, why is it called Me'il ha'Ephod? She ha'Ephod nita nolav lechagura, because the outer robe was placed on it to tighten it. Kilil Tcheles, kula Tcheles. It was made all out of that single material which we mentioned, She'ein min achem urva. There was no other material mixed into it. Then it states, V'hoyefi reishe b'secha. There should be a place for a person's head to go through it. Sofi yeh lefiv, soviv maise orei kefi sachro yeh lei, lei korea. And there should be a border around the place where a person's head would go through it. And this should be all woven together with the beged, with the garment. And this was like kefi sachro. This was similar to the armor. It wasn't made of armor, but this was similar to the way they would make plates of armor when they would go to war. This was the type of armor they would make, yelei, and lo yikorea, that should have a border around it, so it's not easy to be torn, and lo yikorea, and it shall not be torn. So Rashi tells us, fi ha-mi'il b'gavaya hu psichas beis ha-tzavor, that on the top of the mi'il, this was the place for the neck. B'seichei ketargumai k'fil l'gavai kofel l'seicha, that should be doubled over li'eis le l'sfas k'filosoi, should be doubled over to reinforce it around the neck. B'yamaisa oreg, and it should be all woven together v'lei b'macha, not something which is sewn on later on. K'fi sachro, and it should be like their armor was made, l'manu sha shiryenim shalehem p'yem kofel l'seichon. So from here we learn that their armor was bent over by the neck and was doubled. Lo yikorea, kedei shelo yikora, in order that it shouldn't be torn. Lakore eve balav, and if someone does tear it, then he transgresses a negative commandment. Shezea miminyan lavin shebetera, this is one of the negative commandments in the Torah, and we have actually three negative commandments in the Torah that deal with the Mishkan and deal with the Bigdei Kohuna, the garments of the Kohuna. This is one of them. Another one is Le'isach HaCheshen, that the breastplate was tied at the bottom so it should not move and shake back and forth. So if it would, then a person would be transgress a negative commandment. The staves of the Oren that went into the Oren to be carried, these were never to be removed, even when the Oren was resting in the Kodesh, HaKadoshim, even in the Beis HaMikdosh of the Mishkan. And if someone did remove them, he would transgress a law. All right, now further, the Torah tells us that Vasis al Shulav, at the bottom of this garment, you shall make Rimene, you shall make something which are like pomegranates. What does it mean you should make pomegranates? Not that they are pomegranates, but they should be resemble pomegranates, and they should be made out of three materials. Techeles, that's the material that we had before. The argoman. Argoman was also a wool, and that was a type of dark red or purple wool. And according to some, that also came from some type of creature, the dye. The Salash Shoni. And this also was a wool, and this was a red or a scarlet. And according to some, this came from the blood of a worm or from a seed. Aushulav Shaviv. And these rimonim, these that look like pomegranates, they should be on the bottom of this me'il, around it. Ufamone Zohov B'seichom Shaviv. And there also should be a pa'amein zohov. The pa'amein zohov was a golden bell, and that should be amongst them also around. Pa'amein zohov v'rimayin, a golden bell, and then one of these pomegranates. Pa'amein zohov v'rimayin, and another golden bell, and one of these pomegranates. Al shulei hami'il saviv, on the bottom of the meal going around it. Let's see, Rashi says, la rimayne, Agulim, v'chalulim, oyu, kemin remainim, asuim, kibetzis tanagolis. These looked like pomegranates. They were round, and they were hollow, and they were like pomegranates, and they were like the eggs of chickens. Upamene zohov, and then we had the bells, zogim iman volin. This was a bell together with its ringer. Shibesechem, that were amongst them. B'seichem sovi b'nehem. Now Rashi learns, what does it mean b'seichem? You could learn two ways b'seichem. When it said that the bells should be b'seichem, you could learn that the bells should be in the pomegranates. Right in the pomegranates. Rashi doesn't learn like that. B'seichem, that the bells should be within them, he learns b'nehem, between them. Not in the pomegranate, but between each pomegranate. Soviv ben shnei remaining. Around the garment, in between two remaining. Pamein echot dovuk betolui b'shulei ha'me'il. Ben shnei remaining, in between each two of the pomegranates, there should be a bell. And this is going all the way around. And then the Torah concludes on this. V'yal aren l'shores. This should be on Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, when he serves. V'nishma kolo, and his sound will be heard. B'voy el ha-kodesh, the sound of the meal will be heard. When he comes to the kodesh, divnei Hashem, before Hashem, u'betzeisei, and when he goes out, v'lo yamush, and he shall not die. So Rashi tells us, Leyamus, Mithlalamaton Shemeya Hain, Imilo, Laiskai Miso Haim Yiknas, Mehusar, Echod Minabagori Malolochai Misa Bdeshomaim. The Kohen Gadol or the Kahanim had to serve with their Bigdei Kodesh, with their special garments. If they would go into the Kodesh, into the holy parts of the Beis HaMikdash and serve without their garments, then they were guilty of the death penalty from heaven. Alright, this is a description of the Me'il. The Gemara brings in Masechta Yuma, and this is and Ein Aleph, Seif Ahmed Beis. The Gemara says, these rimonim that were made out of wools, and we said they were made out of three types of wool. They were made out of the tcheles, the argoman, the selashoni, the blue wool, the purple wool, and the scarlet wool. So the Gemara says, it says Moshe Zor, and by the preches, by the curtains that were in the Mishkan, it says also the word Moshe Zor. And Moshe Zor means that it was twined. So we learn from here that it had to be twined. These three wools had to be twined together. And how many times did they have to be twined? How many threads were there when they spun the wool? Did they have to be twined together? So the Gemara learns that by Pereches it was Esrim Ba'arba, 24 times. So Afkan Esrim Ba'arba. So here also 24 times. Except by the Pereches, there were four types of materials. There were these three, and then also there was linen together with it. So if you had four types, and it had to be 24, there were six of each min, because it states sheish over there, also linen. Over here, since there were only three different types, so then there would have to be shmona, eight of each min. So that's what the Gemara brings here. Yalif Moshe Zor, Moshe Zor mi pareches, ma lahanon esrim ba'arba, avkan esrim ba'arba, da hava kol chad v'chad tamne. Each one was eight, and since there were three different materials, so it was a total of 24. Then the Gemara brings in Zvachim at the end of Perek HaMizbeach Mekadesh, which is under Peches, Reish Omed Beis. Tone Rabbonan mi'il kula shel tcheles hoyo, shenema v'yas es mi'ila eifod kolul tcheles. That the mi'il, like we said, was all made out of this blue wool from this chalozim, this creature. Shulav ketzad. Now, how was the bottom of the mi'il made? In other words, this that we said, that there has to be these pomegranates and these bells, how were they made? Maybe tcheles ve'argoman ve'shalash shoni. You bring the blue wool, the purple wool, and the scarlet wool, shizurin, and you twine it all together, like we mentioned. We said that you twine it together 24 times, eight of each type. Ve'eisaiso k'minyan remaining, and then you make round balls like pomegranates. Shalei pishku pihem, like pomegranates that are young pomegranates that haven't yet opened their mouths. The pomegranate one, he's still young, so there's no opening to him. Umebi shivim ushnaim zogin, and then you make, well, and the Gemara says that you make a total of 72. And you put 36 on each side. There was the front of the mi'il, and there was the back of the mi'il. There's actually a machlekes in another Gemara that one opinion is that there were 36, 18 on each side. Another opinion is is there were a total of 72, 36 on each side. So here the Gemara is going actually the Gemara is going to bring that in a minute. So here the Gemara says 36. So it says maybe Shimim Ushnaim Zogin Shebehem, Shimim Ushnaim in Bolim. You bring now 72 bells, and each of the 72 bells has a ringer in it, you know, or the clappers that will make the bell ring. The Taylor Behen, and you hang them on the middle, Shleshim Beshisha Betzadzeh, or Shleshim Beshisha Betzadzeh. 36 on one side and 36 on the other side. Reb Dosa Omer Mishum Reb Yehuda Shleishim B'Shisho Hoyu. He says no, Reb Dosa. He says there were 36 in total. Shmone Esrei Mitzadzeh U'Shmone Esrei Mitzadzeh. 18 on each side. So firstly there was a Machlekes as to what was the total number of the round Rimonim and what were the total number of the bells. So according to one opinion, the total was 36 of each, so you would hang 18 on each side, 18 bells in the front and 18 bells in the back, and 18 pomegranates on the front and 18 pomegranates on the back, and the bells would be between two pomegranates. And there's another opinion that the total was 72, and therefore you would hang 36 pomegranates in the front and 36 in the back, and 36 bells in the front and 36 in the back. Rashi brings, what does it mean, the pomegranates that did not open their mouths yet? Derech rimayim kishishayim bi'ilon acha gemar bishulon mispatchin me'alehem. The pomegranates, when they stay on the tree, after they ripen, they start to crack open. Kederek she'esim klipei agozim achitzein. It's just like similar to nuts. So these must be like the pomegranates before they open up. Then Rashi brings in volim, mashatoli besochan lekashkesh betele be'etzel arimayim b'hu pamayim. What does it mean in the Torah Parmain? That it's a golden bell where you put inside it that will clang, the clinger. And Parmain v'rimain, or b'seich harimain, in the krala b'seich halal komar. This said it states in the Torah that the bell should be inside of the pomegranate. It doesn't mean inside of the pomegranate, ele b'nehem, but it means between the pomegranates. The Pamin Echot Ben Shnei Remainim. There should be one bell between the two remaining. All right. Let us just take a look at the Rambam and see what further clarification we can get from the Rambam. The Rambam writes about this in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel and Dalet. Ha'me'il kula tcheles. The me'il was made entirely out of wool, which was dyed blue, like we said. V'chutin, and its threads that it was made from, kfulin shnayim osur. They were doubled, they were twined over 12 times. Now, that's not contradictory to what we said, where we said that they were twined 24 times, because here the Rambam is referring to the meal itself, not to the pomegranates. So they were twined together 12 times. In other words, you would take 12 strands of wool, and from there you would make woolen yarn, and you would dye it blue from the chalozen, and then you would weave the entire meal. Ufiv orug bitchila sarigosoi, and you would weave the neck hole, which was doubled over together with the weaving of the entire garment, not afterwards. Now, the Rambam says, Ve'ein le beishad, there were no sleeves in the me'il. The Ravid comes along and he says, Minayim le. He doesn't know where the Rambam got that. So the Rambam learns that there was no sleeves in it. Ela ne'achalak, ne'cholek lishtei knofim, mi'seif ha'goren, ad lamata k'dera kol ha'me'ilim. Ve'ein ha'machuba ela k'neged kol ha'goren bilvad. He says that it was, there were, that had two sides, a front and a back. And the front was connected to the neck, and the back was connected to the neck. And there was no places for the arms. And this was the me'il. Kedera kol me'ilim. He says this is the way you made all me'ilim. The me'il seemed to be a common garment in the Rambam's time. We make a talis-cotton similar to this. And the Ravid says now, he says, Gam zeminayin lo. He doesn't know where the Rambam is getting all of this from. The Gemara doesn't speak about it. Although the Kesef Mishnah says that the Ramban also brings like this, so evidently they had some mork, or they had some source for this. So therefore the Rambam says there were no sleeves to it. It just was divided into two like wings. And both of these wings came off of the hole that was there for the neck, and one went in the front and one went into the back, and it was not mechubar, and there was no other place it connected to except to the goren, to around the throat. And if someone tore the round hole where the throat went through, so then this was a negative commandment. And there would be a din malchus leke. Then the Rambam says, "V'hu adin lachol b'gdekuna sha'kerin derech hashkosa leke." And this is true by all of the garments of the kohanim, that if someone would tear it with intent to destroy it, he would be leke. Now, if this is true by all of the garments, so what was the chidush? What was so special about the me'il? So they explain that if you destroy with intent anything that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, then one would be Chayav Malkus. He transgressed the negative commandment. Because it states, Leisase Kein, Lashem Elekecho. When the Torah tells us that we must uproot and destroy all of our disorder, all of our idolatry, but it says you're not allowed to do that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if anyone destroys anything that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash and with intent, then he transgresses his negative commandment. Incidentally, the authorities bring, the Peskim bring, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it. He says that since a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, a shul or a Beis HaMedrash has a halacha of a Mikdash Mi'at, of a Beis HaMikdash itself, but a substitute for the Beis HaMikdash, so one has to be very careful not to damage anything for this reason. Now this was in general, but when it came to the meal in particular, since the Torah expressly said lo yikoreah, so even if he tears it through negligence, without intent to damage, to destroy, or if he tears it, let's say he does. No, I think maybe we'll have to say that he's tearing it, but not with malicious intent. By the me'il, he also would transgress his negative commandment. Now the Rambam says, "Umevi tcheles va'agoman v'selashoni." Now you bring the blue wool, and the purple wool, and the scarlet wool. Kol min mishleishten shozer shmeina. And each type should be twined 8 times. See, this is what we brought. Each type, 8 times, because it states, Bishulad Mashuzor. At the bottom, it should be Mashuzor, Shizura. Shizura means where it's twined together. Now, if each one is 8 times and you have 3 different species, 3 different types, 3 times 8 is 24. Nimtzu Chuti Ashulaim Arba Ve'esrin. So it comes out that the strands that you use for the bottom will be 24. And you make from them like pomegranates, shlepos kapihen, pomegranates that have not yet opened their mouths, v'teila eson b'mi'il, and you hang them on the mi'il. And now maybe shnayim b'shivim zugim, now you bring 72 bells, u'bahem shnayim b'shivim and bolim, and in the bells are 72 ringers or clappers. Hakol zahav, and those should be made all out of gold. V'teilebay, shisha u'shleshim b'shulei kanaf zeh, and these you hang, 36 on one side, on one wing of the mi'il, v'shisha u'shleshim b'shulei kanaf zeh, and another 36 on the other wing. V'hazugim ha'anvil, and the bell with its clapper, hatoli ben shnehem ke'echot, which you hang between the two remaining, that's called a pamein. Until you have on the bottom mishneit stodov on both sides, both bottoms of the mi'il, pamein v'rimein or pamein v'rimein. You have a bell, and then you have a pomegranate, and a bell and a pomegranate. The reason why the Rambam is expressing this so much is because there is a difference of opinion. Because the Mishnah brings that the Ramban in Chumash and the Ravah, the Ibn Ezra, they learn that when the Torah says that you should, the actual pasuk is that you should put pa'amayni zohav b'seichom zohiv, you shall take the bells and put them inside around, it must go inside the pomegranate. So they are learning that you hang the pomegranates on both sides of the mi'il, and then in the pomegranate you put the bells, because it says b'seichom. Well, Rashi and the Rambam learns b'nehem, that you put the bells not inside the pomegranates but between each two pomegranates. Now this is a physical description of the mi'il. What was the purpose of the mi'il? What was the purpose of the bells? What was the purpose of the pomegranates? The Gemara brings Masechet Erechin on Tefzayin and Masechet Zvachim on Peches Reish Amud Beis. Gemara says, "Rama Reb Omar Reb Inyone Bar Shoson. Lama Nismacha Parshas Korbanis Le Parshas Bigdei Kohuna." We find in a number of places in the Torah. In one place Rashi says in Sab, in another place he brings by the Meluim, that the Torah wrote the Parsha of the Bigdei Kohuna, the garments of the Kohen Gadol, right next to the Parsha of Korbanos, of the sacrifices. Why did the Torah put the two together? Le'malach ma Korbanos mechaperin ad Bigdei Kohuna mechaperin, to tell us that what is the purpose of the sacrifices? That was for kapora, to bring forgiveness. So this also was the purpose of the Bigdei Kohuna, or if not the sole purpose, at least it provided kapora, that the wearing of the Bigdei Kohuna by the Kohen Gadol would bring kapora, would bring atonement and forgiveness to Klal Yisrael. And each beged, each garment, would bring forgiveness for some other hate, some other sin. And the Gemara goes through each garment. Now we've given shurim in general on this in the past. This evening, though, we're bearing down on the mi'il. So for what did the mi'il come to be mechaperan? The Gemara says, mi'il mechaper al loshen hora. The mi'il comes to bring atonement for Loshon Hora. Minayin? On what basis do you say that? Omer b'chanina, yovedove shebekol, v'yechaper al hakol. Al kol hara. Let something that has a kol, that has a sound, and it's also a kol shel kodesh. It's a sound which is coming from something holy, because being de kodeshim, all of the begodim were sanctified. So let something which is coming from a beged shel kodesh come and be mechaper and atone al kol hara, on something, on a sound which was evil. And that's Lashon Hara. Then the Gemara asked the kasha. It says, Amy, is this so? Omar Bishur ben Levi. Bishur ben Levi said, Shnei dvorim lematzinu lehen kapor bikorbanes umatzin le kapor mimokam acher. There are two things which we do not find an atonement from, through the begodim, through the garments, but we do find an atonement for them from another place. One is shvichas damim, one was murder, but that we're not dealing with this evening. The other was lashon hara. So we see that lashon hara, when the person speaks badly about someone else, this the kapora does not come from the begodim. So the Gemara says, where does the kapora come from? It comes from the ktoras. Every day, incense was brought in the morning and towards evening, and this was brought on the inner mizbeach, mizbeach ktoras. This was called the ktoras. Now, minayin lekteris shemachaperes. So the Gemara brings a ride that it's mechaper, and the Gemara says, "Tani de beir bishmul amak teris mechaperes aloshen hora," that the ktoras atoned on lashon hara. And why? Yovei dovish shebachashoy v'yechaper al maiseh hashoy. Let something which comes in secrecy and in privacy, let it be mechaper, let it bring a kapora on an act that was done in secrecy. Now the ketores was always brought with great privacy and great modesty, because firstly, it was brought lifnim, it was brought on the inner mizbeach, it wasn't brought on the outer altar. Secondly, when it was brought, so the Gemara brings that they told everyone to go away. Let me just see if Rashi brings that here. Yeah, Shehayahu levadeshom, only the Kohen would be there. Kedisnan porshin bein ha'ulam lemizbeach b'shas ha'kteris v'kol shkein min ha'heichol shenema v'chol adam la'yibay. That when the Kohen would bring the kteris, so nobody was supposed to be around the incense. They told everyone to go away. So it was brought b'chashoy, it was brought very low profile, in privacy. In Lashon Hara is also said in low profile. Lashon Hara, when you want to say something bad about another person, generally you say it in very, very low key. So therefore the ketores was mechaper. So Gemara says, this is not a contradiction what we're asking. Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, nami lekasha, habitzina habifar hesha. There's two types of Lashon Hara. There's a Lashon Hara which is spoken openly and publicly, and then there's a Lashon Hara which is spoken privately and secretly. Sometimes you will say something openly, you will slander someone openly, you'll put it in the newspaper, or you'll tell a whole bunch of people. That's Lashon Hara v'far hesha. And sometimes you'll say it secretly, you'll whisper to your friend, I want to tell you something, but you tell him, look, this is confidential, don't tell anybody else. So-and-so is a ganef, or his father was a ganef, and so on and so on. So there are two types of Lashon Hara. The Ne'il, which had a kol, it says that when Aaron would come to the Kodesh, you would hear him. And there was a call of Kedusha that would come and be mechaper on Lashon Hara, which was said openly. The Ktores, the incense, which was brought bitsino, which was brought with great privacy, that would be mechaper on Lashon Hara shebitsino, Lashon Hara, which was said bitsino privately. So therefore we need these two kaporas. There's a Gemara in Erechin asks, but we know that Megoim, we know that tzaras, which was a type of a leprosy that would come, and the chait, this was during the time of the Torah, of the Chumash and so on, would come when someone would speak Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says that it's speaking Ani Maisov. If someone, heaven forbids, he speaks Lashon Hara and it does damage, and then heaven forbid he would get Negoim, the Tzaras. But where he spoke Lashon Hara but it didn't do so much damage, but still he needed a kapor, an atonement, these were the atonements. Now, the Maralin is Nesiva Loshen, Nesiva Salem, in Perek Yud Aleph. He gives us a little more depth in this, a little more insight into this. He says, firstly, he says that there are two types, the two types of Lashon Hara, we need a kapora for both, because they're different. When you speak Lashon Hara openly and publicly, from one aspect, it's very, very bad. You're slandering, or you're destroying a person's reputation in public. So this is from the greatest averus. But on the other hand, it has an aspect which makes it not so bad, because for the fact that he knows what you're saying, he can defend himself. When you speak Lashon Hara privately, so from one aspect it's very, very bad, because he can never defend himself, because he doesn't know, it's an unknown enemy. He doesn't know who's talking behind his back. There's people like the Nach says that they're the best friends, your best friends in your presence, and they put a sword into you when you're not around, in your back. So this is a greatest enemy, because you can't even defend yourself. But on the other hand, it has a much lighter aspect, that it won't do that much damage as public Lashon Hara, because it's not in public. So therefore each one is a different type of Lashon Hara, and therefore each one needs a kapora. Now, what does it mean that just like the korbonis, the sacrifices are mechaperin, the begodim, the clothing of the kain godel also are mechaper? How is the clothing of the kain godel mechaper, and what does one thing have to do with another? So this, he says something which is very deep. He says there's a great dinyan, there's a great similarity between a mitzvah and a chait and a beged and a garment. Because the garment is what a person clothes the body with. And the mitzvah and the chait is what a person clothes the soul with. One is a physical garment for the person, and one is a spiritual garment. When you put on a garment, it clothes you, covers you. When you do a mitzvah, or you do an avera, it also clothes you and covers you. Except one is physical, for the physical body, and the other is for the soul, spiritual. And just like we find two dimensions in the garment, in the physical garment, so do we find two dimensions in the spiritual garment. A physical garment can add honor to a person. Rabbi Yochanan always said, that he says he never referred to his garments as begodim, as garments, but as machpedesai, as something honorable, because it's the clothing which honors a person. So if a person wears nice clothing, beautiful clothing, pleasant clothing, and it fits him properly, and they're clean, this brings honor to the person. So there is clothing which brings honor to the person, and then there's clothing which brings disgrace to the person. Gnai, for example, if he's wearing clothing which are ragged, tattered, and torn, and dirty, they don't fit him properly, or they're not of pleasantness. So this is a beged shel ganai. This is a begodim of disgrace. Actually, it's a strange thing today that you go onto the campuses and you'll see what we're talking about. They've become an isolated island in the world. I tell this over many times. We used to have a lot of university boys come here. They come in rags. that come in torn jeans and torn sneakers and rags for shirts. And this they couldn't do in high school because they had to wear uniforms. And then one day, the same fellow would show up, and he'd be dressed in a pinstripe suit and a beautiful shirt and silk tie and shoes that you saw your reflection in them. And he'd be carrying a leather briefcase, and I'd ask him, "Hey, what happened to you?" He says, "I got a job." He's now an accountant. He's now working for a bank. He's a lawyer. So somehow, in recent years, the campuses seem to have exempted themselves from the decency of big day covered. That a person, that it's the dress and how a person grooms himself, that makes the person, for those few years until he gets out into the real world. At any rate, this is what the Maral says. So, these are the two dimensions that you find in physical garments. In the spiritual garments, the same thing. You can have a spiritual garment of kovod, of honor, or you can have a spiritual garment of genai, of disgrace. A person does a mitzvah that becomes a garment for his soul, and it becomes a garment of tiferes, of beauty, and of honor. And the greater the mitzvah, the greater the honor, the greater the tiferes. He learns more Torah, or he does more chesed, or more tzedakah. This all becomes shining, beautiful garments for his soul. A person does an aveira, then it becomes a garment for his soul also. But it becomes a beged shel genai, a garment which is embarrassing for him, which is a shame for him. It's like a beggar that is walking in tattered clothing and rags. Now, the Maral says that you should know that when the Kohen Gadol puts on one of his big day kodesh, Torah says all the time, big day kodesh heim, they are sanctified garments. They have to be made from all of the materials, like the Torah tells us, but that has to come from the tzibur. This came from what the tshuma, from the offerings which Moshe asked for. So it came from the tzibur, from the total community. And they have to be sanctified. You have to be magdish them. So they were big day kodesh. So when the Kohen puts on his begodim, this is the same as the Israel is putting them on. Those same begodim. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol is the shliach of Klal Yisrael. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Beis HaMikdosh and to do the avoda, he's not doing it for himself. Everything he does is as the representative of Klal Yisrael. That's why when he goes in, for example, on Yom Kippur, he's mechaper al beisai, al kol beis, al kol beis hakahanim, he's mechaper, and al kol ama Yisrael, and the whole klal. So whatever he does as representative for Klal Yisrael. So therefore, when he puts on his eight begodim and he wears them, that is the same as Klal Yisrael are putting on these begodim. Now, when a person has a beged, a garment, spiritual garment, which is disgraceful for him, and that's coming for a specific reason, that's there for a specific chait, when the Kohen Gadol will put on a beged, which is lekoved ulatiferes, like is written by the Big Day Kahuna, which is therefore honor and is kodesh, and that is coming for a specific mitzvah, then that can be masalik, it can remove and be matahir and purify the beged shel chet, the garment of chet. That's why that kishem shakolanis machaperin kain being de kohunim machaperin. That's why the garments of the kohanim are machaper, and certainly each one in accordance to its own nature. So the me'il comes as a garment which gives kedusha to the sounds of the person. It says that when Aaron will come to the Kodesh, v'nishma kolo, the sound will be heard. So this is hashmas kolei shel kedusha. From here will come sounds of kedusha. When he puts it on, it's like every Jew puts it on. And this will help to be metaher, to purify and to remove the sounds of evil and tuma that the person had, which came from Lashon Hara Befar Hesha, which came from open Lashon Hara. The Maral asks, he says, this explains the bells. Why do we need the bells on the garment? Because that would give it a kol shel kedusha, a sound of sanctity, and then it would atone for the sounds of evil, like we said. But what were the pomegranates for? The pomegranates were silent. Not only were the pomegranates silent, but they were woolen balls, which ain't lehemper. They didn't even have a mouth, they didn't have an opening. So what was their purpose? So he says, in general, the me'il represented the keach hadibur, the speech of the person, because that's where the sound of the person comes from, the madaber. And the speech of the person is divided in two parts: when he should speak and when he should be silent. And the me'il would represent the kedushas hadibur, the sanctity of the mouth of the person. The sanctity of the mouth of the person, this refers to when he should speak and also when he should not speak. For example, we have many psukim in the Torah that states for example, vidibarta bom, you should speak in the word in divrei Torah. Or for example, man was created le'omel peh, he was created to labor with his mouth in Torah. Or le'yomish yomush mipicho, Torah should not depart from your mouth. Or for example, it states oz nidbereu yirei Hashem ish reu yemech hazok, one man should speak to another man and strengthen him and encourage him and direct him in the ways of Hashem. Or for example, leman yizamecha kovei v'leidom, one is should sing out the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not be silent. So in the whole Torah is made up of Vayidaber Vayim Hashem El Meshe and Vayidaber Meshe El Bnei Yisrael. The whole Torah refers to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Meshe and Meshe speaking to Israel. So one part of Kedushas HaPeh, of the sanctity of the speech, is to speak, always to speak. But then we have where many times the Chazal tell us it's not so good to speak. For example, in Masechet Ovis, it states, Lemotzosi leguf tei mishtiko. He says, I called Yomai Godalti Bein HaChachomim. I grew up amongst the Chachomim all of my days, and I never found anything so good as silence. Or Ksilish Osei Chochem Yechoshev. When a fool remains silent, people think he's a Chochem. That this is usually a sign of wisdom. So how do we answer this contradiction? So the mouth says this is a very simple answer. If you're speaking words that are words of mitzvah, words of Torah, words of encouraging others, words of chesed, words which are productive, and those, the mitzvah to speak all of those words, if you're speaking words which have no mitzvahs in them and have no purpose in them, they're unnecessary words, and it's just speaking for the sake of talking, and that the best is to be mamayit, the less the better. And that's why I said, "Kol yomei gadalti bein hachachamim v'lai motza leguf tei mishtiko." I found the best thing is the silence. So it depends what kind of words are we speaking about. If you're speaking words to make friends is a great mitzvah. So these are words of mitzvah. But if it's just empty gossip, or just babble, right? So then the best thing is to be mamayit. So this all has to do with the kedushas hadibor, the kedushas hapeh, the sanctity of the mouth. And the meal represents the sanctity of the mouth. Therefore, on the meal was both. You had the bells, which would give out a sound. This represented that talk, which is good talk, that you should always talk in this. And then the pomegranates, which were totally closed, that when it comes to talk, which is not good talk, but we're not talking necessarily if it's evil talk, see? But this also, the sanctity of the mouth is to keep the mouth closed. And this was the meal. So meanwhile then, the meal though would be mechaper on the Loshon Hara, which was befaresha, that would give out a whole sound. The ketores, on the other hand, the incense, there we find that would be mechaper, that would atone on Loshon Hara, which was in secret. The ketores, which would be mechaper on Loshon Hara, which was secret, actually the Gemara brings the ketores was known as the Sam Chaim. The Malachim, the angels, told Aaron that this is what brings life. And therefore it was very good to be mechaper on Loshon Hara, because on Loshon Hara it states that Loshon Hara was mavis. Loshon Hara can bring death. And Loshon Hara was the chait of the nochesh, of the serpent. And the serpent is the one who brought death to the world, because he told Chava to eat from the tree. Once they ate from that tree, death was brought to the world. Another interesting note which he brings on this is that on Yom Kippur, there was something special with the ketores. There were two things special. Firstly, it was not only brought in the inner chambers, in the Kodesh, but it was brought even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lifnei Ulefnim. It was brought in the most inner chambers on Yom Kippur. This was the only time. Secondly, all the time it was ground up, because it was spices which were ground. On Yom Kippur, it was returned to the Machteshes, it was returned to the press, and it was ground the second time. Dak min hadak. So what did this represent? He says, the Gemara brings in Baba Basra that there are a few things, Gimel Dvorim Ein Orem Nitzel Mehem B'chol Yom. There are three averas that a person cannot become free from every day. And one is Avak Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara, if a person is strong and he labors in it, he can free himself from it. But Avak Loshon Hara is like the dust of Loshon Hara. That is almost impossible for a person to free himself from. And that was the dust of the Loshon Hara, which means not where he made a specific remark about another person, which was a derogatory remark, but he was just a slight intimidation. Intimation. A slight intimation. This is called the Abak Loshon Hara. the dust of Lashon Hara. So all of the time, we bring the incense to be mechaper on the actual Lashon Hara. But on Yom Kippur, when we are on the level of Malachim, of the angels, then we want to free ourselves even from the dust of Lashon Hara. And we have to go lifnai ulifnim, because that Lashon Hara is said even more secretly. When a person says a statement which is derogatory against another person, but he says it privately, all right, that's secret Lashon Hara. But here he doesn't even say a statement. It's only an intimation. So this is even more secret. So for that, we have to grind and regrind the incense till it's dust. And the Kohen Gadol would go lifnai ulifnim in the innermost chambers to sacrifice it and to purify us from that. So this is what the meal would come for. This is the significance of the bells. This is the significance of the pomegranates. The bells would give off the call, the sound, and the pomegranates would tell us when to be silent. One final word. Morau brings, he says, you find something in the tongue different than from all other parts of the body. All other parts of the body, you either have an Eber Vibachutz or an Eber Vibifnim. Mora calls it either Begoli or Beis Hastorim. You either have a part of the body which is on the outside of the body. You have your arms, your eyes, your nose, your ears. Or you have your inner parts, inner organs of the body. Your heart, your liver, your kidneys, and so forth. The tongue is the only organ of the body which has both. It's on the outside of the body because you can see it. He opens his mouth. Person opens his mouth, you can see his tongue. He can't show you his heart, can't show you his liver, can't show you his kidneys. So he can show you his tongue. At the same time, its place is inside of the body. It has, the Gemara brings, it has a machitza, not only machitza, two machitzas. It has two walls to enclose it inside the body. It has a wall of flesh and a wall of bone, the teeth and the lips. So it's on the inside of the body. He says this is what's unique about the tongue. And therefore the tongue has this unique power where it can say something which is secret, and at the same time he can say something which is megula. He can say both. This is with both mitzvahs and avera. He can speak lashon hara betzino secretly, and the Gemara says he can say something here and kill someone at the other side of the world with his tongue. So this is the enormous power of the tongue. This gives us an explanation in to the Me'il.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.